definitely in the water, no one loves Chick-fil-A more than me. I talk about it quite a bit, so much that my friends are like, man, I want some Chick-fil-A now. So I think I'm Chick-fil-A's biggest surf fan.
A California surfer is hoping to combine his two loves, catching waves and Chick-fil-A. Hey there, welcome to My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast. I'm your host, Allison Storm. I'm joined by Jim Mann. Jim, have you ever been surfing?
You would have to bring that up. I did one time in my 20s, which, you know, obviously a few years ago. And it was at Cocoa Beach, Florida. But I should have taken a clue that no one else was on the beach. And it was just my friend and I. The riptide was ridiculous. You know, we'd go in, we'd come back out like a mile down the beach. That was not a good day to try to surf for the first time. So I haven't since then.
So your career started and ended on the same day.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
Well, I thought this was pretty interesting. In the U.S., about 1.73 million people go surfing at least once a year.
Wow.
And worldwide, that's around 23 million people.
That's a few people out there. I don't know. Of course, in Florida, the waves are not that high. I mean, you can get a little thrill, but you got to go out to California for something like that, right?
Yeah, and it's definitely grown in popularity because it made its debut as an Olympic sport in Tokyo. So I don't know if you remember, but that was the 2020 Summer Games, but they were actually postponed until last year. I don't. It's like all a blur to me.
Yeah, I don't remember all that.
I know, but surfing made its debut.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. Of course, being a surfer myself.
Well, we have someone joining us that can answer all of our surfing questions and probably knew everything about what happened in Tokyo. We're thrilled to have Fred join us on the podcast. Hey, Fred.
Hi there. How you guys doing?
Where are we talking to you from? Where are you at?
I'm down in sunny San Diego, California.
Ah, and you just got out of the ocean, right?
I did. Just about 20 minutes ago now.
Wow.
Now, made it just in time for this this conversation that we're having.
Do you do that every morning?
Sadly, not every morning. I work that 9-to-5 job that actually is not a true 9-to-5. So I work 4 10-hour shifts, and I work from 4 a.m. to 2 p.m. So my days off that I have, I'm a dawn patrol surfer to probably about noon. And then on my work days, I'm a afternoon evening sesh surfer. So I'll probably work. I'll probably surf until like from like 4 to about 6 p.m.
Wow.
How long have you been surfing?
I've been surfing for roughly about 15 years. But when I was, you know, a kid, I didn't really get a chance to go surfing often because I couldn't drive myself. And then after I got a car, I was going to college. So it was back and forth of summer, winter surfing. So I never really got consistently good at surfing up until the past 5 years where after I had left country to go to work in a different country, I came back, started surfing a little bit more often due to my job, thankfully. And since I moved down to San Diego a year now, I've been surfing a lot more consistently. So roughly the past 5-6 months, I've been surfing about 4 to 5 days a week, sometimes 6. So my surf skills have gotten tremendously better compared to 15 years ago when I first started surf lesson in Hawaii.
That's incredible.
Are you saying I probably quit too soon?
You know, you didn't quit too soon.
Oh, okay.
You didn't quit too soon. However, you did quit too soon. It's definitely one of those things you got to try it a couple of times before you say it's not for me. You can't really, really hard time your first time in it, and that pretty much sets the mood. But you can't let the surf surf you. You got to surf the surf. You know what I mean?
Okay, that makes sense.
And is it too late for Jim? I mean,
well, he says, you know, just a couple of years ago, he was in his 20s.
Yeah.
He's still a spring chicken. He can definitely do it.
Exactly. Oh, did I say a few years? Maybe a few decades.
you definitely can. I surf with a whole bunch of seasoned surfers. Some people are just doing it just to stay healthy, stay fit. Some people do it because they still love surfing. They've been surfing since they were little kids. and they're going at it. They're in the 50s, 60s, and I surf with an uncle, and he's 73, and he shreds.
Hmm.
Wow.
There's hope, Jim. There's hope.
Yeah. There's a lot of hope. A lot of hope.
So, Fred, you're from California. That's where you live now. But have you surfed other places around the world?
I have, only just a couple places. So I grew up in California in the Bay Area where there's cold water, and I had to use a 5-millimeter wetsuit. And I surfed a few places up and down the coast. I've just only surfed in Hawaii when I lived there for a little bit. And I've surfed in China. I used to live in China for 4 years. That's where I was doing some work, and surfed down in Hainan, which is a pretty much a big surfing scene area now. It's popping. They actually held a annual Roxy Surf competition in November, and I always missed it. So I've only surfed in those three places in the world. I've wanted to surf in Iceland when I went back in 2015, and I'm planning to go back to Iceland and Alaska to surf and check that off my bucket list. And eventually I'll probably make my way to New Zealand and Brazil and maybe somewhere else, wherever the wind takes me.
Hmm. So you've never been to Cocoa Beach to surf, huh?
Nope. I sadly haven't.
Good.
I have gone to a couple of beaches in North and South Carolina. So Folly Beach gives me San Diego vibes, and I like that area. However, I wasn't keen to hearing how the surf only happens during hurricane times, whenever there's those hurricane storms. I'm just like, I've done some fun, dangerous things surfing, but I don't think I want to do that.
Now, I do have a question. When I, in my one little surfing excursion, it was just my friend and I out there, and he's like a super jock. He really irritates me. But and he's a big guy. He's like 6'4", 200-some pounds. And he got out there, but, I mean, the riptide was really strong, and I had trouble getting out to where you can actually start surfing. So I'm sitting on my surfboard with my little legs dangling, and all of a sudden this school of fish comes jumping out and, like, all over my board. Does that mean something bigger is feeding on them underneath my board?
You know, that can be. You could have some seals that tend to like to hunt for the fish. Hmm. There could be some dolphins too. You know, they're just moving, they're migrating. A lot of times it's just those. I mean, it might be a turtle depending on where you're at. There's always some sort of factor. You don't really have to worry about anything bigger than a dolphin, per se. But if there are dolphins, you are safe, because if you see one, rule of thumb is there's numerously a pod underneath, which is like 10 or 12 or something like that, if I remember correctly from Animal Planet. So fish, I like it. It doesn't really bother me. When you see fish, it's just something of beauty. It's like, oh, this is gorgeous. This is glorious. I love being out here with God's creation, God's creatures, and you see some fish out, I don't worry about anything. I just say, oh, that's really nice. So probably something good happening.
So it wasn't a 30-foot great white?
No, most likely not a 30-foot great white. They would do something. It would be a little bit more stealthy. Fish probably wouldn't be anywhere in that area. Most likely it was just like a seal.
Oh, man. It makes a better story as a 30-foot shark. But I'll go with that. I'll go with the seal.
What's the biggest wave you've ever surfed?
Oh, so back actually 2 years ago, it was in December 8th, if I remember correctly, went up in Pacifica, and we had like some 16 foot waves. I surfed in a little cove, so I was just slightly protected, and I believe the surf was 10 to 12 feet. And I paddled out with my friend. There was probably about like six other people out. And it was pretty much just like Ocean Beach, San Francisco set waves, which are huge for the beach that I was surfing at. And I'm pretty sure I caught about 10 to 12 foot waves. I was surfing out there for about an hour, and it was pretty huge. And I can say that I don't want to surf anything that big anymore. I've knocked that off my bucket list. Very safe, but still, whenever you're trying to get past those breaks, it does get a little scary every once in a while, because the wave kind of takes you and you're like, man, I almost didn't make that. But then you just got to keep your composition and make sure you stay calm and keep going forward. Never look back.
Wow. No sharks yet?
No, no sharks. However, I have seen a lot of turtles and a lot of dolphins, which is really great. So actually, no, I take that back. I did see a baby leopard shark, you know, probably about a good foot size, but leopard sharks are pretty harmless here in San Diego.
Oh,
okay. You got to worry more about the stingrays than the leopard sharks.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, they'll get your feet.
Where's your favorite place to surf?
Well, I'm going to be biased. It's got to be Hawaii. There's something different about the Hawaiian water. It gives you that push into the wave, and it just holds, and you can ride the waves for like 20 seconds pretty much, depending where you're at. Now, I know there's other places in the world, some places that shouldn't be named because it's among the surf communities. We want to make sure we don't, you know, get every single spot, you know, very touristy. But there's other places in the world that are, some are pretty popular, some are not, kept secret, like I said, that they will just beautiful face waves. They'll just hold and you can ride that wave for as long as you can, all the way to the beach. And then you have to paddle all the way out. But for me, definitely Hawaii. In California, it definitely has to be San Diego, not because I'm biased, but because it's who you surf with, the community. And when you find that community, you enjoy being there, and it keeps bringing you back. Outside of California, Hawaii, California, definitely San Diego.
Wow. Now, here in the Southeast, we have like a Chick-fil-A every block, it seems. But in California, probably not as many. But what made you become a super fan of Chick-fil-A?
Oh, well, I first was introduced to Chick-fil-A when I was in college in Tennessee. I went to a Christian college, and when I'd gone there, people were always talking about Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, well, you know, California, we don't have a Chick-fil-A. It must be just like a regional type franchise. Well, my classmates introduced me to Chick-fil-A, and they told me the, you know, the backstory about the history and the morals of it. And I'm like, oh, I like this. You know, there's always one establishment that all of a sudden just appeases you. And this was Chick-fil-A. And had it a few times, and then I kind of got hooked on it just because everyone made it a huge deal. Whenever people make it a huge deal, you kind of get hooked on it, and you like it a little bit more just because, you know, the community, like I was saying earlier. And then I left the country, and when I came back after 4 years working in China, there was word that Chick-fil-A was opening in my area, in the Bay Area in California. They started branching out. And I kind of got excited. It brought me back to my college days. Then I kept going, and then I keep hearing that they're opening more locations. And then once I moved to San Diego last year, I found out that there was numerous Chick-fil-A locations close by to pretty much all the places that I go surf at. So I'm like, oh, this is nice. I have 3 Chick-fil-A locations close to the beach, and there's 2 just a little bit further inland. I was pretty much having a good time once I found out that here in San Diego is a lot of Chick-fil-A establishments, and I'm just like, all right, this is definitely my thing. But whenever I did go back to the East Coast, I was always staying close to a Chick-fil-A, and I just ended up just taking pictures, taking videos, and putting on my Instagram reels. So I don't know, it's just something about the Lord's chicken that just wraps with me.
And speaking of Instagram, that's how I was introduced to you, because your handle is Surf Filet, and your bio also claims, Fred, that you are Chick-fil-A's biggest fan. So I just have to know, what makes you say that?
it's a pretty big thing to do.
When you're talking to Gemini, you know?
Yeah. Once I found that one, I'm like, I think I need to edit a couple things. I always could label it as Chick-fil-A's biggest surf fan. Or, you know, insert surf somewhere. But I definitely in the water, no one loves Chick-fil-A more than me. I talk about it quite a bit. So much that my friends are like, man, I want some Chick-fil-A now. So I think I'm Chick-fil-A's biggest surf fan.
The fact that you, I see pictures of you wearing the head of a cow. I mean, how did that start? That obviously makes you a big fan. I'll give you that.
If I told you I also had a cow printed onesie, Does that change the conversation more?
Maybe a little.
I like to have fun. The people you surf with, when you have fun, it just makes everything much better. Of course, you have to have safety as number one priority and make sure that there's other people around you that, you know, won't drop in on your wave and whatnot. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just have fun, do some goofy posts, and, you know, get a cow mask and surf with a cow mask just for fun. And I honestly don't know where it came from. It's just, we're just talking with some of my friends in the water about, yeah, you should get like a onesie and surf in a onesie. Well, we do have a Halloween surf competition here in October. It's an annual thing that we have at the local beach that I surf at. And I was like, you know what? Might as well get a head start. So I got a cow mask and a cow onesie, and I haven't surfed in the onesie just yet. I've been enjoying the surf more than wanting to try the onesie, but I did surf in the cow mask. But honestly, I can't tell you where the cow mask came from. I'm just going to look online. Looked online, bought it, and wore it a couple times surfing, and that pretty much sets it.
Do you have Chick-fil-A on your board at all, or is it like Chick-fil-A red? Or
I wish I did. You know, I would like to have a Chick-fil-A logo or a cow printed board or something that screams Chick-fil-A. But I just don't want to have that. And then all of a sudden Chick-fil-A is like, hey, how come you never asked me first? You know, it's better to ask. Yeah. So I definitely want to see if maybe that may happen in the future where I could get noticed with my cow mask or my cow printed onesie, and Chick-fil-A is like, hey, maybe this kid definitely can represent us in the water. Be the brand from the land to the sea, wearing a cow mask or cow print. But I do wear some red when I surf. I have a red rash guard, and my little spring top wetsuit's just the top part has some red on it, and I have a red leash, but no red Chick-fil-A board, no logo. So one of these days it'll happen.
I believe it will. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to hit Fred with a wave of Chick-fil-A inspired questions we like to call Food for Thoughts.
Hey guys, Allison here. I know a lot of you have little nuggets at home, so I wanted to take a minute to tell you about another passion of mine besides Chick-fil-A. It's called crowdsourcing kids. A few years ago, after a life-changing trip to India with the ministry Set Free, I created Crowdsourcing Kids, a way to teach kids compassion and kindness while helping to solve the world water crisis. Here's how it works. 50 kids each sell 10 adorable stuffed elephants handmade by young ladies rescued from slavery. With their efforts combined, those 50 kids will have raised enough money to drill a well in India. So far, we've drilled 7 kid-powered wells, giving the gift of clean water to nearly 22,000 people. Now we need your help. We're looking for kids to sell elephants so we can drill our 8th Crowdsourcing Kids well in India. To get involved and get your elephant kit, head to crowdsourcingkids.com. That's crowdsourcingkids.com. We're proving that kids really can change the world.
Welcome back. It's time for Food for Thought. Fred, answer these 10 questions quicker than a trip through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What's your favorite sauce?
My favorite sauce is definitely the Polynesian sauce.
Excellent. I like that answer. What celebrity would you like to eat nuggets with?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, nice. He's a good surfer.
He is a good – well, he's a good surfer, and his attitude is very chill like a surfer.
Yes.
Very mellow.
Yes. He needs blonde hair. That's all he needs.
Boyfriend.
If you worked at Chick-fil-A, what job would you like to do?
Probably like to be those greeters at the drive-thru. Definitely meet some cool people, get to have a small little conversation, and consistently say my pleasure.
Okay. What's your favorite milkshake flavor?
Right now, it's definitely the autumn spice. But if it's not the autumn spice, not the seasonal, it has to be the cookie and cream.
All right. If you could only order one menu item the rest of your life, what would it be?
If they keep the spicy grilled chicken sandwich, it would be that one.
Okay. What menu item have you never tried?
I haven't tried the salad, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Okay. We'll let it slide on that one.
All right.
Have you ever, this is probably obvious, have you ever dressed up like a cow to get free chicken?
Not yet. but that's going to be very soon.
He's prepared, though. He's ready.
I am very well prepared.
How many points do you have on your Chick-fil-A rewards?
Total points is 15,822. So far, I'm only 1,095 away from being a signature status member.
Respect.
Oh.
Yes. And how many nuggets do you think you can eat in one sitting?
75.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Team nuggets or team strips?
Team nuggets all the way. Team nuggets all the way. Can't mess with those nuggets.
Wow.
What's the ideal post-surfing Chick-fil-A meal?
I always go for the spicy chicken sandwich, and I'm very particular with it. I don't like to have tomatoes in it because it kind of waters down my chicken after I'm done surfing. I love to open up and see how many pickles I get, and I have been blessed with 4 pickles before.
Mm.
And you best believe I did a nice little chicken dance after that one. So.
Yeah, God was smiling on you.
So, but it's definitely the spicy chicken sandwich. And with that, I have large fries and I have a large sweet tea with light ice. I don't know why I don't like to have a lot of ice, but it's the light ice. It just makes it that nice temperature for me right after surfing. I'm not too cold, not too hot. It's just like that perfect temperature.
Wow. Fred really knows what he wants and what he likes. <That's right. laughs> I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And Jim, did you know Fred has the same problem that you have every time we record a podcast? Fred ends up talking about Chick-fil-A with his surfing buddies, and then they all end up wanting to eat it when they're done, just like you when we record a podcast.
Yes, I'm getting hungry right now.
Same here.
Now we know what we're all doing after we finish.
Oh, I'm on my way there right now. As soon as we're done talking.
How far do you have to go to get to a Chick-fil-A?
Right now, from where I'm surfing at, the closest location is 3 miles. Mm. And that's not that far. If I want to go a little further close to my house, it's 3.5 miles.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. Like I said, there's several establishments close to the beach where I surf. One's closer to home. So I kind of have it made right now. I'm feeling very blessed.
You're never going to leave that spot.
I'm never.
You've got the waves and you've got the Chick-fil-A. It's like, what more could you want?
A Chick-fil-A surfboard and Chick-fil-A to say, hey, good job, kid. Here's a cow printed wetsuit. Go surf it out.
That's right. Well, we really hope that happens for you, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you.
And please be in touch if it does. We'll have you back on the podcast.
Oh, I definitely will. I'll be in touch with you guys forever when it comes to being a Chick-fil-A's number one fan and number one fan from the ocean.
You can have that one. I don't think we'll threaten you on that.
Right on, right on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And if you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend. Take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you do me a favor? Pick up your phone, hit those 5 stars, and leave a review. We love reading them, and we'd love to read yours. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me, and our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm, but it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with 2 N's, madeproductions.com.